Welcome to Day 23 of My Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. Today's reading comes from the Amplified Bible, and we are reading Genesis chapter 32 through chapter 34. So beginning at Genesis 32, verse 1. Then Jacob went on his way, and God's angels met him. When Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's army." So he named that place Mahanaim, two armies. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, "Say this to my lord Esau, your servant Jacob says this, I have been living temporarily with Laban and have stayed there till now. And I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, men servants, and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I may find mercy and kindness in your sight." And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and now he is on the way to meet you, and 400 men are with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people who were with him and the flocks and herds and camels into two groups, thinking, "If Esau comes to the one group and smites it, then the other group which is left will escape." Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your people, and I will do you good,' and I am not worthy of the least of all the mercy and loving kindness and all the faithfulness which you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I passed over this Jordan long ago, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray you, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite us all, the mothers with the children." And you said, "I will surely do you good and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for a multitude." And Jacob lodged there that night and took from what he had with him as a present for his brother Esau, 200 she-goats, 20 he-goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 she-donkeys, and 10 donkey colts. And he put them into the charge of his servants, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, "Pass over before me and put a space between drove and drove." And he commanded the first, When Esau my brother meets you and asks to whom you belong, where you are going, and whose are the animals before you, then you shall say, 'They are your servant Jacob's. It is a present sent to my lord Esau, and moreover, he is behind us.'" And so he commanded the second and the third and all that followed the drove, saying, "This is what you are to say to Esau when you meet him. And say, 'Moreover, your servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me, and afterward I will see his face. Perhaps he will accept me.' So the present went on before him, and he himself lodged that night in the camp. But he rose up that same night and took his two wives, his two women servants, his 11 sons, and passed over the ford of the Jabbok. And he took them and sent them across the brook. Also, he sent over all that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. And when the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and Jacob's thigh was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you declare a blessing upon me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" And in shock of realization, whispering, he said, "Jacob, supplanter, schemer, trickster, swindler." And he said, "Your name shall be called no more Jacob, supplanter, but Israel, contender with God. For you have contended and have power with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Tell me, I pray you, what in contrast is your name?" But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And the angel of God declared a blessing on Jacob there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, the face of God, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is spared and not snatched away." As he passed Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he was limping because of his thigh. And that is why to this day the Israelites do not eat the sinew of the hip, which is on the hollow of the thigh, because the angel of the Lord touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh on the sinew of the hip. Chapter 33. And Jacob raised his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming, and with him 400 men. So he divided the children to Leah and to Rachel and to the two maids. And he put the maids and their children in front, and Leah and her children after them, and Rachel and Joseph last of all. Then Jacob went over the stream before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Esau looked up and saw the women and the children and said, "Who are these with you?" And Jacob replied, "They are the children whom God has graciously given your servant." Then the maids came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. And Leah also with her children came near, and they bowed themselves. After them Joseph and Rachel came near, and they bowed themselves. Esau said, "What do you mean by all this company which I met?" And he said, "These are that I might find favor in the sight of my Lord." And Esau said, "I have plenty, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." But Jacob replied, "No, I beg of you, if now I have found favor in your sight, receive my gift that I am presenting. For truly to see your face is to me as if I had seen the face of God, and you have received me favorably. Accept, I beg of you, my blessing and gift that I have brought to you, for God has dealt graciously with me, and I have everything." And he kept urging him, and he accepted it. Then Esau said, "Let us get started on our journey, and I will go before you." But Jacob replied, "You know, my lord, the children are tender and delicate and need gentle care, and the flocks and herds with young are of concern to me. For if the men should overdrive them for a single day, the whole of the flocks would die. Let my lord, I pray you, pass over before his servant, and I will lead on slowly, governed by consideration for the livestock that set the pace before me and the endurance of the children, until I come to my lord in Seir." Then Esau said, "Let me now leave you with some of the people that are with me." But Jacob said, "What need is there for it? Let me find favor in the sight of my lord." So Esau turned back that day on his way to Seir. But Jacob journeyed to Succoth and built himself a house and made booths or place of shelter for his livestock. So the name of the place is called Succoth, booths. When Jacob came from Paddan Aram, he arrived safely and in peace at the town of Shechem in the land of Canaan, and pitched his tents before the enclosed town. Then he bought the piece of land on which he had encamped from the sons of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. There he erected an altar and called it El Elohe Israel, God, the God of Israel. Chapter 34. Now Dinah, daughter of Leah, whom she bore to Jacob, went out unattended to see the girls of the place. And when Shechem, son of Hamor the Hivite, prince of the country, saw her, he seized her, lay with her, humbled, defiled, and disgraced her. But his soul longed for and clung to Dinah, daughter of Jacob, and he loved the girl and spoke comfortingly to her young heart's wishes. And Shechem said to his father Hamor, "Get me this girl to be my wife." Jacob heard that Shechem had defiled Dinah, his daughter. Now his sons were with his livestock in the field. So Jacob held his peace until they came. But Hamor, father of Shechem, went out to Jacob to have a talk with him. When Jacob's sons heard it, they came from the field, and they were distressed and grieved and very angry, For Shechem had done a vile thing to Israel in lying with Jacob's daughter, which ought not to be done. And Hamor conferred with them, saying, "The soul of my son Shechem craves your daughter and sister. I beg of you, give her to him to be his wife, and make marriages with us, and give your daughters to us, and take our daughters to you. You shall dwell with us. The country will be open to you. Live and trade, and get your possessions in it." And Shechem said to Dinah's father and to her brothers, "Let me find favor in your eyes, and I will give you whatever you ask of me. Ask me ever so much dowry and marriage gift, and I will give, according to what you tell me. Only give me the girl to be my wife." The sons of Jacob answered Shechem and Hamor, his father, deceitfully, justifying their intended action by saying, "In effect, we are going to do this because Shechem had defiled and disgraced their sister Dinah." They said to him, "We cannot do this thing and give our sister to one who is not circumcised, for that would be a reproach and disgrace to us. But we do consent to this. If you will become as we are, and every male among you be circumcised, then we will give our daughters to you, and we will take your daughters to us, and we will dwell with you and become one people. But if you will not listen to us and consent to be circumcised, then we will take our daughter and go." Their words pleased Hamor and his son Shechem. And the young man did not delay to do the thing, for he delighted in Jacob's daughter. He was honored above all his family, so ranking first, he acted first. Then Hamor and Shechem his son came to the gate of their enclosed town and discussed the matter with the citizens, saying, "These men are peaceable with us, so let them dwell in the land and trade in it, for the land is large enough for us and for them. Let us take their daughters for wives, and let us give them our daughters. But the men will consent to our request that they will live among us and be one people only on condition that every male among us be circumcised as they are. Shall not their cattle and their possessions and all their beasts be ours? Only let us consent to them, and they will dwell here with us." And all the people who went out of the town gate listened and heeded what Hamor and Shechem said. Every male was circumcised who was a resident of that town. But on the third day after the circumcision, when all the men were sore, two of the sons of Jacob, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's full brothers, took their swords, boldly entered the city without danger, and slew all the males. And they killed Hamor and Shechem his son with the edge of the sword, and took Dinah out of Shechem's house where she had been all this time, and departed. Then the rest of Jacob's 11 sons came upon the slain and plundered town, because there their sister had been defiled and disgraced. They took their flocks, their herds, their donkeys, and whatever was in the town and in the field. All their wealth and all their little ones and their wives they took captive, making spoil even of all they found in the houses. And Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have ruined me, making me infamous and embroiling me with the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites and the Perizzites. And we are few in number, and they will gather together against me and attack me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my household." And they said, "Should he be permitted to deal with our sister as with a harlot?" This is the end of today's Bible reading. In today's Bible reading, there's rich, rich narrative giving us very fascinating insight into the life of Jacob and his family, the family that the Lord made covenant promises to make as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. But I want to focus today on something we find in the midst of chapter 32, the very first chapter that we read. We see that Jacob was on his way back to his homeland, to where his father Isaac lived and where his brother Esau lived, and he was afraid. He was afraid because he had tricked his brother Esau, first into giving him his birthright, and secondly, by deceiving his father Isaac into giving him Esau's blessing, the blessing of the firstborn. So it's been 20 long years of service in Laban's house. And Jacob was instructed specifically by God, get up, go back to the country you came from, and I'm going to bless you. So he had instructions from the Lord. He's on a mission, you could say, from God. He's moving forward at the word of the Lord. So we know that he's obeying God here. And yet, as he comes closer to the land, and he had sent messengers ahead of himself to his brother Esau with the intention of trying to smooth the way of their meeting, he gets word back that when they came to his brother Esau, Esau got up and took 400 men with him and started heading toward Jacob. Well, that sounds very threatening, actually. It sounds like he's going to fulfill his sworn oath to kill Jacob when Isaac dies, just to get rid of him for stealing his birthright and his blessing. So 400 men with him doesn't sound like a welcoming party, though it may very well have been that he was going to honor his brother, because as we go on in the story, we find no sense of animosity on the part of Esau. They have a very nice meeting, one with another. They embrace. They don't seem in the least bit. There does not appear to be any kind of anger or resentment or animosity. Esau tries to leave him with armed guards to escort him back home, but we know that Jacob doesn't take him up on that at all. But all of this to say, at this point in chapter 32, Jacob is afraid. He, even though he's obeying the Lord, he gets this word that Esau and his 400 men are on their way. It seems like he's could potentially be in trouble, and he's very distressed, greatly afraid. And he started dividing up his people, hoping if he did kill some of them, the other ones could escape. So he's trying to devise a way to save at least part of his family from total destruction, which is what he's expecting from Esau at this point. So then we find Jacob going to prayer, to cry out to the Lord for God to protect and deliver him from Esau. And I want you to note that this prayer, which is in Genesis 32, verses 9 through 12, is the first recorded example of prayer in the Bible. Now, we know Abraham prayed, we know Isaac prayed, but there's no record of what the narrative was. What were they saying to God? Abraham met with God face to face. They did have the conversation about Lot and all that, but we don't see about Sodom and Gomorrah's destruction and Abraham pleading with them. But we don't have a record of a prayer such as Jacob is praying here. This is the first, and so it's very interesting. And I want to say that it's a very simple prayer. It's a few verses long, 9, 10, 11, and 12, but it's powerful, and it has some very unique elements that are an excellent example of prayer for us today. And it definitely is a biblical, scriptural type of prayer, as we find in Philippians chapter 4, the instructions in verse 6 on how to pray in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. So we see some instruction there about prayer. And interestingly enough, Jacob prays in very similar way to the Lord here. And I do love it. So let me just give you these elements and encourage you to pray similarly to the Lord, for certainly Jacob got his answer, and in a very profound way. The first thing I'll mention about Jacob's prayer is that he was very humble in his approach to the Lord. We need to see it. Let me read the prayer to you. Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your people, and I will do you good. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercy and loving kindness and all the faithfulness which you have shown to your servant. For with only my staff I passed over this Jordan long ago, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray you, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite us all, the mothers with the children. And you said, I will surely do you good and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. All right, so there's his prayer. We see humility in it. He's humbling himself before the Lord. I'm not worthy of all that you've done for me. We see that he's acknowledging gratefully past blessings that God has done. He says, I passed over this Jordan River a long time ago with my staff only, and now I'm coming back two companies of people. He's got Leah's family, and he's got Rachel's family, and all the men servants and maid servants, and amazing amount of livestock with him. So much livestock that he's going to give a gift to Esau of 550 animals. That's just a piece of his action. And so we know he had to be very wealthy, as the word tells us in the previous chapter, that he became very wealthy with livestock. So God has blessed him. That is clear. So look at what he does in his prayer. He's humble. He acknowledges gratefully all God's goodness, all the faithfulness God has shown to him, all the loving kindnesses and mercies that God has done for him in blessing him coming as a poor man with just his staff, and now he's going back a rich man. When you pray to the Lord, when you speak to the Lord, do you acknowledge the goodness he has already shown to you? Do you acknowledge his faithfulness? Do you acknowledge how grateful you are for all past blessings and mercies? How blessed you are in your family, how sweet it is, the goodness of the Lord in your marriage with your children, the things that God has blessed you with in terms of possessions, or in having a place to live, or in any and every good thing God has done. Do you do that? That's an important part of prayer. Philippians 4, as I mentioned earlier, says, in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your requests or your wants known to God. So with thanksgiving, every time you go and you have a situation and you need to pray and ask the Lord for something specific, like Jacob was asking, deliver me from my brother. Don't let him kill us all. He had a definite request of the Lord, but he made it with thanksgiving for past blessing, for past kindness, for past mercies, for past faithfulness that the Lord has shown to him, and blessings, literal monetary blessings that God had given to him. And then from that point forward, he makes that specific request. He says, after he gave thanks, he makes the request. A good model for us. Deliver me, I pray you, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite us all, the mothers with the children. So we see a few things here. We see he makes a very specific request for deliverance. God, deliver me from this. And he also confesses his fears. Are you struggling with fear of disaster, of trouble, of financial failure, of business failure? Confess your fears to the Lord. It's not God that you have fear. That's not God's way. So it's good for us to confess that fear as sin before the Lord, because we are told throughout the Word of God 365 times, fear not, fear not, fear not. We know that we're not supposed to fall into fear. It is the opposite of faith, and it is, and it shows our lack of trust in God. But sometimes we're pressed, and we're absolutely under pressure, even satanic pressure, with circumstances. And when you are finding yourself giving into a spirit of fear, confess it to the Lord. God, forgive me. I'm fearing this disaster. I don't want to be a fearful person. I want to be a person who trusts in what you have said to me. So he confesses his fear to the Lord here. So beautiful. And then the most profound part of his prayer to me is the fact that Jacob begins by pleading the promise, reminding God of what he said, and he ends his prayer pleading the promise, reminding God of what he said. Let me show it to you. He says, Jacob said in verse 9, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me. So first off, he starts out after he acknowledges the Lord. He says, you are my father Abraham's God. You are the Isaac's, my father's God. And you're also my God. You're the Lord who said to me. So now he brings up what God has said. Return to your country and to your people, and I will do you good. He reminds the Lord that the Lord made a promise to him. I will do you good. If you'll go and obey me, go back to where you came from, return to your country and your people, I will do you good. So Jacob begins his prayer, and he ends his prayer, reminding God of the promise he has made. Oh, that is powerful. Do you know that it pleases the Lord when you repeat back to God the word that he has given you, the word in your Bible, the promises you find in the scripture? God loves that. Why does God love that? Because you're showing respect. You're showing trust. You're showing honor for what God has said. And Jacob does that. He said, you're the Lord who said to me, return and I will do you good. So he says, Lord, I am bringing before you the promise you made to me. Look at this thing that I'm facing. This man wants to kill me. And yet you said to me, go and I will do you good. Then he ends his prayer after confessing his fear, thanking God for past blessings and provision. He ends his prayer again with the promise of God, repeating back to the Lord what the promise he made. He said, and you said, the very last thing, and you said, I will surely do you good and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude. So we find Jacob praying profoundly, humbly. We find him praying, acknowledging gratefully past blessing and faithfulness of God. We find him pleading the promise which God had made to him, both beginning his prayer that way and ending his prayer that way. This is a great example for us. Are you facing a terrible situation right now or just a difficult one? Find the promise of God in your Bible. Is it financial? Then take out the word of God that says, my God in Philippians shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Take that word and say, Lord, you said, this is what Jacob did. He said, and you said, I will surely do you good. And that's how Jacob prayed. And this obviously pleased the Lord. Do you know how I know that? As we go further on in the chapter, Jacob has an encounter with this God that he has prayed to. It's profound. We find that he prays, then he does what he's able to do. He gets a present ready for his brother Esau. He takes care of what he can do in his own strength, and he takes his family, sends some this way and the other one in a second group, and they gets it all squared away. But then he does something that every one of us needs to do it at a time like this. It says in verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. The previous verse says he took them and he sent them across the brook. Also, he sent over all that he had. Okay, he removed himself from his possessions. He removed himself from his family. This is a word for us in this busy generation when we are consumed with activity and appointments and time-consuming things and continually being pulled on by people from every side. Jacob intentionally separated himself. He sent over all his possessions. He sent on his family. And then he, the scripture says, was left alone. Now, this was an intentional decision on Jacob's part to be alone. What was he doing? It says, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. This whole next section, which talks about Jacob wrestling with what is called in this passage, depending on your translation, the angel of the Lord, the angel of God. Different translations say different things. So we find that Jacob is having a spiritual encounter. It's not just spiritual, though, because it says he literally wrestled. So we're talking about an encounter with God where there was a physical component. It doesn't say he was having a dream. If he was having a dream, it says so in the Bible. It doesn't say he was having a vision. It says Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Now, this came after he had prayed. Think about that. He prayed and then he went and got alone by himself. And it says a man. And in the Amplified Translation, man is capitalized as if it's the man, Jesus himself. We see that there have been several theophanies in the Old Testament. Theophany is a pre-Christ appearance of God coming down to man. We heard of it when we read about Abraham getting the visit from the three men. And one of them was the Lord himself. And together they discussed what God was about to do with Sodom and Gomorrah, judging that place for all the wickedness that was literally coming up to heaven. It was so awful. And the Lord himself, and it says Abraham spoke to God face to face. So we know that there was an appearance, a pre-Christ, pre-Jesus coming to the earth, being born as a baby through Mary, a pre-Christ appearance of God several times in the Bible, which we're going to see more of them as we read. But this place, scholars debate whether it was a theophany, it was God himself coming down and wrestling with Jacob, which I'm on that side, and others saying it was the angel of the Lord. Some say it's Michael the archangel, some say the angel that stands in the presence of God. But regardless, this was a divine encounter that Jacob had after crying out to the Lord and getting alone with God. You know, sometimes when you're in the midst of the worst time of your life, going and trying to make it, fix it, make it work, get people's advice, do everything you can in the natural to cause yourself to be delivered from the situation, that's not the way to go. Jacob went alone. He's cried out to the Lord. He got alone with God. And in that place, he found himself having a literal divine encounter. And do you know, when he comes out of this divine encounter, he is a new man. He has a new name. He has a new revelation about God and a more profound commitment to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In fact, after this, he calls him God, the God he's serving, the God of Israel, which is the name that God gave to him in this encounter. And he's struggling, wrestling with God. And it says at the end, it says, then he said, referring to the Lord or the angel, let me go for day is breaking. And some people say, well, it's not like God could be held by a person. But truthfully, there's a point where Abraham is, in Moses, where God says to Moses, let me go, because he let me alone, because Moses is interceding. He's crying out on behalf of his people. And God has said to him, let me alone. Why? Because men can prevail with God. They can. They can prevail with God in prayer. They can be so importune, meaning so determined and crying out to the Lord, that God actually honors that. And in this case, had to say, okay, let me go. Day is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you declare a blessing upon me. And you know, the Lord loved that. And how do I know he loved it? He says, the next verse says, the man, capital M, asks him, what's your name? As if he didn't know, right? But he makes Jacob say his name. And Jacob's name, as you know, means schemer, supplanter, or trickster, or swindler, which has been him. He's been the deceiver. He's always trying to make things happen in his own strength by deception. And so Jacob has to admit his name. And this man, the supernatural man here, whether angel or God himself, he says, your name shall be called no more Jacob, supplanter, but Israel, which can be translated contender with God, one who contends with God, or prince with God, which is most likely the proper translation, prince with God, a prince with God. For you have contended and have power with God and with men and have prevailed. Now that is beautiful. Jacob is in the worst situation of his life. It looks like he and his entire family are about to be annihilated by the angry man that he provoked through his deception 20 years before. And so he goes to the Lord and prays. He cries out to the Lord. He reminds God of his promise. He thanks God for past faithfulness and blessings in his life. And then he reminds God of his promise again. And then he goes away and just spends time alone with the Lord. And here he's wrestling. It's a picture, wrestling with the Lord until God finally says, all right, enough already. Let me go. And Jacob says, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. What a beautiful place. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful example for us. You know, God wants that kind of importunity or determination in prayer. He wants someone who will just come to him and won't let him go until they get blessed by God, until they get a response from the Lord in their situation. God loves that. Why? Because he's looking for people who trust him, people who really believe his word, people who really will stay with the Lord, not leave in anger and resentment and you haven't done anything for me and I don't know why you're letting this happen kind of attitude. But instead, he says, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. He had faith. You know, Jacob, for all of his negative traits, there was a development of his faith as he walked along. He had encounters with God. The Lord appeared to him. The angels appeared to him. He slept at Bethel and saw this dream, had this dream of the angels of God coming up and down on a ladder right there. And he woke up saying, wow, I didn't know it, but God is in this place. And he was having a growing experience with God, but he really did believe the promise, because it was there that God renewed the promise of Abraham's lineage being blessed by God, being blessed if whoever blessed him would be blessed, whoever cursed him would be cursed, and that they would end up more numerous than the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. It was renewed with Jacob. You don't see it renewed any other place. It was renewed with Abraham, Isaac, and then Jacob. And then here, 20 years later, we find him wrestling with God and coming into a more profound relationship with the Lord, who has now declared him to be a prince with God, Israel, a prince with God. And you know, this is the relationship the Lord wants with us. He wants it where we will get away with God. We will go be alone with the Lord, as Jacob did here. He went to be alone with God. He pulled himself out of his circumstances, people, his stuff, his children, his wives, everything. He just pulled away. He stepped back. And it was there when he was alone that he had this encounter with the Lord. And then he wouldn't let God go until he blessed him. What a beautiful picture for us. You know, God wants us not to just check in every now and then and help us, Lord, and send up a few emergency flare prayers. Help, God, I need it right now. I'm going into this meeting. He wants us to get alone with God, wrestle with God, spend time with God, and not leave him until we receive the Lord's blessing. Be that kind of a person, that kind of a Christian, that kind of a believer. Your life will change. Jacob came out of this encounter a changed man. Forever. His relationship with God was deepened, and he became one who could hear from God even more clearly, get direction from God, and then later on at the end of his life prophesy literally over his descendants very specifically. So we see an increase in spirituality and gifts in his life after this season. So I want to encourage you to be someone who wrestles with God, who takes hold of God, who won't let God go until you are receiving his blessing. That's what God wants. He wants that for you. He wants to have that kind of face-to-face relationship with you. Jacob called the name of the place where he wrestled with God Peniel. It means the face of God, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is spared and not snatched away." He received what he came for. He prayed for deliverance. He prayed for God to help him. God gave him all of that and more. And he became, quite literally, a prince with God. And that's God's call on your life as well. Be one who gets alone with the Lord and sees the Lord face to face and receives the blessing of God. God wants you to be that kind of a believer who won't let God go until you receive his blessing. Have a very beautiful week, and remember, take time and get alone with the Lord this week.